We'll open with prayer. Helen Suki is going to lead us, and then the pledge. Ellen, before we get into our minutes, I want to welcome our Branson Mayor, Ray Ann. Welcome this morning.
Thank you.
Good to have you today.
Happy to be here.
Okay, we've got minutes for 119, 120, and 121.
Motion for approval.
Second.
I've got one little addition, I guess you'd say. On the 21st, I spoke to Jim. I was on the telephone for that first 30 minutes of our meeting, so he's going to add that, if that's okay.
No problem.
Okay. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Next, we've got accounts payable. Jim, you mentioned you got a couple.
There was two I wanted to pull out and just hold out. One was I have marked them in the box, but it's 201-001-0117. And then there's one dated that hasn't have a check number or PO date, but it has a date. It's 110-2010 with the circuit judge, specific invoice. I've marked them in there. I just want to look at them, and then just I had a few questions about it.
Okay.
But everything else looked fine.
Okay. The questions you have will have to be answered from other locations. Or
yeah, Bob's going to have to look at one of them. And one of them I just want to – I don't think the work's done on an invoice. That's why I wanted to pull that one out.
Right.
So it's something the commission had hired.
Motion to approve all but those two numbers.
Second.
And you'll get with Helen on exactly which ones
yep.
she knows. Any questions or comments otherwise? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Didn't see any journal entries, I don't think, or transfers.
No.
Also, I didn't look around too well. I'd like to recognize our former county auditor, Minnie Stopp. Welcome. Nice to see you, too. All right. Public comment. Anything? Anybody? Nope. Okay.
Now, what's happening?
I don't know. Don't say anything.
And no public comment. It's scary.
I can make comments, Dan, if you want me to.
Okay. All right. New and old business. We're ready for Alan, HPRP, first quarter statistics. Welcome, sir.
Morning. Thank you much. Thanks a lot for letting me come and talk to you this morning, give you an update of where we are on this particular program since you happen to be the grant holder and we're just a subcontractor, so we want to bring you up to date. Also, I think a special thanks from the numerous residents of Taney County that this program has helped and the fact that it gives them a chance to have their problems aired also before the commission. I think we have this thing under control. So much for that. Yep. Can you get me up the next one?
Yeah.
I don't know where they're. Yeah. I'd like to, like I said, the first 90 days of this contract are over. That's why we're giving you a quarterly report for the end of 2009. I also have with me here today Valerie Saletto, Tammy Falbian, and Joycelyn Fisher. Valerie's our program director, and the other two ladies are in the office here doing their thing for you here in Taney County. Next slide. Just a little bit in review. This is the synopsis of what the program does. It provides some homelessness prevention assistance, and that's all due to the current economic crisis. And the other part of it is rapidly rehousing those people that are currently experiencing homeless based on several criteria from the grant. Next slide. You chose Christian Associates to be your subcontractor. We were funded at the level of $182,198 that was made available in 1 October. It's available money for 3 years, but we were directed not by you, but by the state to budget that over two. And then whatever's left in the system, they'll reallocate. The direction you gave us as the subcontractor, I appreciated from the aspect that it was goal-oriented. You told us to execute the contract based on the experience we've been doing for 30-plus years over in Stone County. You told me to make the money last for 2 years, if at all possible, and keep the dollar level of expenditure such that it would be able to help all the most Taney County residents that we get through the program. Became operational on 1 October, and I would like to say that we are one of the very few, at least in Southwest Missouri, that's up and operational. Many have not even hired their staff yet, let alone trained them. A lot of those are the counties around us. And some of it's not the particular people's fault. For example, I know we're the OCAC group that has over around Texas County and all that group of counties through there. OCAC ended up with 14 or so counties with zero staff to do this with. Zero experienced staff, and they ended up, they're still hiring and trying to get the people in place. From the aspect that we did, Christian Associates and you both recognized the need, and that's one of the reasons we went immediately into 1 October. That was a little bit of a strain on us and possibly on you too. But the whole thing that made this work was the communication with the county, and I'd like to thank you for that. Ron Houseman, Joan Chowney, and the administrative staff upstairs, they've really helped make this thing start on 1 October, even as rough as a start as it was. And also, I'd like to thank Charles and Scotty Earls that immediately stepped forward and gave us an office for this, and a temporary office. And our location is right underneath the tower at Hometown Radio. But last week, we were given the opportunity to move to the Community Faith Health Clinic on 6th Street. We can move in as early as next week. We're shooting for the 15th of February because there's a few things we're going to have to do before we get in there. And that's going to make a fantastic opportunity for all the residents of Stone County. It's going to have eventually a lot of the social services agencies in one spot. The staff I've already introduced to you, and the other aspect on there is the volunteers. We've had several people step forward and help run that front desk, and that's always a major, major help. I really look at this startup and this program to be a pilot program, hopefully, for a comprehensive, centrally operated homelessness prevention program for Taney County in the future. Always have to talk about the money. The top line, the red one, is the budgeted. The green line is the actual. Over the 3 months, we spent $20,336. Little under budget, but the learning curve of getting started. And also, we had to slow down just a bit because the state wouldn't send us any money to make this go. And, of course, the learning curve itself. Now, the next slide. Our original agreement was the fact that we would charge no administrative costs to this contract. That all the funds would go straight through to the clients that needed it here in Taney County, the residents. We did not realize we were going to have to advance over $20,000 of funds over other programs for 90 days, but we were able to do that. The money came down just a couple of weeks ago, and we were able to pay our other programs back, so now we're fully operational money-wise. And then the cost to us for the first 90 days is somewhere around $15,000 we spent to make this program happen in Taney County. That's salaries, utilities, and quite a bit of travel because we spent the month of September in Jeff City and all over Taney County trying to get the word out on this program. Next slide. This is the key one. In those first 90 days, we saw 355 clients. The ladies tell me that many more other clients were just talked with on the phone, given some referrals and direction. but did not come in based on the fact that they knew by that conversation that they were not going to be eligible for the program. We were able to assist out of that 135 people, 38%, and were not eligible under HPRP was 220 people. And that's about what I thought we would see. Somewhere around 40% we'd be able to help. Now, the people, the 220 that we could not help, we did not just throw out on the street. They worked with them coming up with additional referrals, other resources, identification, things of that nature to help the people get some level of help. But we were not able to help them underneath this program in any way under a homelessness prevention effort. Next chart, please. Out of that 135, we've already provided, as of the end of the year, direct assistance to 58. And the assistance is pending for 77. And that's mainly a paperwork drill. A lot of that is 7 to 10 days after the paperwork comes in to process to get the money moving to the landlords or wherever it may be. And also, you got to get the clients, have got to help themselves to some degree. A lot of this paperwork is theirs, and they don't always bring it in real direct. And we also have to get verifications from landlords and things of that nature, so we're dependent upon their input and timeliness also. Next chart. Those that we could not help, 220. 18 of those were over income. They made too much money to fall underneath this program. 36 of them just didn't show up. Five of them for out of county, and we expected a few of those, but five is almost nothing. They're literally homeless. These are those that were just not in a position that would ever be stable, and they had no way of taking care of these people as far as helping with homelessness because we do not have an emergency shelter in this area. I think almost all those made it to Springfield or other shelters and other help trying to get them help. But it's something, if we'd had an emergency shelter of any degree in the area, we would have been able to put them in and help them. And then 150 of those fell outside of the parameters. And if you'll go to the next chart, these are the ones that just did not fit within the program overall. 42% of those, no risk of homelessness. They came trotting in and needed some help with 1 month's worth of utilities. They were even asking for rent for the next month, which hadn't even happened yet, but they knew they weren't going to be able to pay. So it just did not fall underneath this. They were not going to become homeless based upon their current situation. Or they didn't have an eviction notice. Especially in Stone County and some here in Taney County, we're finding out that landlords don't always work with a proper lease, and they don't really execute eviction notices that are proper. And we were required to have an eviction notice under this. They work with the landlords, the staff does, and tries to get the eviction notice in here. Of course, if the landlord gets once paid, he's accommodated us on that, but it's something that we've just run into. Utility request only, we're not able to help with, unless that utility effort calls them to become homeless, and it did not in those cases. No verifiable stability. That's the aspect, and we talked about stability before. If the client cannot become stable in their working environment or home environment after we have helped them, then we're not supposed to spend money on them. Most of those numbers ended up in the first month, and then criteria was changed all the way down that opened that up more, that we were able to help more people. And I think it was about the last 2 months we only added one or two people into that percentage. So a lot of that problem's been taken care of, and I don't think we'll see in the next report. Homeowners that need help with their mortgage just flat can't do it. That's a one-liner that no mortgage support. And 3% of those were referred to a domestic violence shelter, either over at Rockaway or our shelter over in Stone County. One of the biggest concerns we had going into this was our motel weekly rentals. And the next chart, we were super surprised that only 14 of those people that have been identified as motel weekly rentals came in for assistance. Tammy and Joycelyn have gone out with Jesus Was Homeless, helped deliver meals. We've passed out flyers in the meals, and they just have not come in. So we don't really know why. We're going to continue to work on that, because as you can see, out of the 14, 8 of those we are definitely able to help, and the other 6 fell outside the parameters, for same type of parameters we had before. So, but we were a little surprised at what we found. And what we're running into, the ones pending assistance, runs down to transportation. They have to be able to find, within walking distance usually, an affordable home, a rental that they can rent and be able to get to work without having a car. And between the client and the staff, we're just finding a hard time coming up with that. That meets the criteria. We have to inspect all these units too that go out. But until they can find that affordable housing close in, we may or may not be able to help them over in due time. Next chart. Challenges that we have short term is the office relocation. That's really just our challenge, but it's going to make a little hiccup for a few days in the system when we move. Outreach, we continue to need the help to get the word out to the people that we can help. That sounds like that should be easy to do. We've been in Stone County for 36 years, and there's still a lot of people over there have no idea that we exist or that we do things more than a thrift shop. So it's something that through whatever efforts, and it's good to see some of the press here today that can help us with that. What do we call the landlord education? I talked to this a little bit, using legal leases, legal eviction notices, and the timing such that you know, they've got to be able to be in a position to show that the eviction is valid, not just writing eviction after 1 month or whatever the case may be. But the biggest challenge is that bottom one, and that's the homelessness prevention program. There's a lot of efforts that have been disjointed, that's what the word I will use, in Taney County, to provide homelessness support to people. But there's in the county, there is not a comprehensive, centrally driven, located program to help those people. And that's the 150 to 200 people from that previous chart. Had they been in Stone County, we would have been able to help with our programs over there, because that program does exist there. Somewhere between $300,000 to $400,000 a year, at least, depends how you measure it, we spend in Stone County on a homelessness prevention program. Of course, that includes staff and all over there too. But next chart. Homeless prevention program. We need to get it instituted in the county if it's wanted. I cannot push a program like this into the county. It's got to be pulled in. It's got to the need's got to be recognized and pulled in, given the proper support. Funding, I can work that through grants. The people in Housing Development Commission in Kansas City and the people in Jefferson City are aware of what we need to do in Taney County, and they state that they will support that through the grant process. But usually grant processes, as you know, is 12 to 18 months out before you see money. Local government support from the counties and the cities. And I'd like to say on there that time is of the essence. 18 months is what we've got left with this money. And as I just mentioned, the grant cycle drives that. So from the county, I'd like to see the county and the cities state that they support a homelessness prevention program in the county, that they can assist with the grants as we apply for them, or help identify other grants through the county level, and if possible, help with some level of funding. Right now, even if we had $50,000 to help the people, it would work overall. A lot of that 150 to 200 people could have some level of service of, and not just having to turn them away. Now, what we found is, for example, in utilities, we've gone out and helped and the utilities only that did not fall under this grant. We have gone to all the other organizations in the county to help with that, and for the first month, there were zero funds to help with that. One November, OCAT got their funding to help with the utilities, and that's helped a lot since. But that usually dries up in 3 or 4 months also, and they'll be right back that there's no utility help. And we foresee at this point And we're really starting to see the input of the people and the circumstances, economic circumstances of the people in Taney and Stone County are being impacted by the economic system much worse right now than we saw last year as it was developing through. And of course, they've ended their work season last year. A lot of them are in layoffs till the tourist season starts back up, and it's just impacted them a whole lot more than it has in the past. Christian Associates will definitely continue to work a donor base, if that's the way we need to go. Those people that will step forward and organizations to help with the funding, and we're obviously ready to do the grant process. But again, it has to be pulled into the county if it's wanted. There's no way that we can push it in because then it won't be accepted by the organizations, the governments, and the people under that circumstances. So that's all I really have. If I've got any questions, I sure appreciate it.
Excuse me, got questions for Alan?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Danny.
Well, I had mentioned to Alan the fact that Stone County, as I listened to the report last Monday morning on the radio, and I brought it up to the commission about Stone County being advanced in their ability to help people, just I guess because of the length of time that you've been over there and have these programs implemented.
Yeah, that's really, you know, I cannot go back and identify any point in time like we're at here that we determined we needed a homelessness prevention program. It's evolved over time. We were one of the pilot people for the Missouri Housing Development Commission's Missouri Housing Trust Fund first effort, and we've been with them ever since. But the type of support that comes down, just one of the grant processes brought in $290,000. For this new year coming up. That's all homelessness prevention.
Another thing that, and I have run onto you out in locations when you were out actually seeking a place to locate, actually looking for people that were, that could be funded through this process. The awareness to the public, I've run into Alan in different locations trying to proceed with this. I have been an outspoken person about the Meals on Wheels and all the things that pertain to the people that have lived in this county for years and years, and then run up against a wall and can't seem to get past that point. And we've discussed and talked about things, and now that we have our grant writing people in place and our people to implement this, I would like to push, I guess that's the word, is to push. You're using pull. I'm saying push to get those things implemented in the county.
Well, one of the things I think, and I was thinking that from the numbers from the first quarter would provide and identify the need, and that's what I think that's done. The 220 people that fell through this particular good grant, but it just doesn't cover everything, that identifies the need. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say, too, when you talked about in Stone County, I've checked to see if there's any way I can use any of those funds in this county, and I'm not allowed to do that. So,
right. The fact that you can use them there tells me that it's out there somewhere, and it may be a time frame that we need to go through, or whatever that this commission or our people that write grants that are available in the cities or the county, I'd like to see that those people didn't fall through those cracks, because the biggest harm that I see in the program is someone that comes to seek help, and they see more people than you out there searching for the people, and they say, I went to them and they couldn't help me, so they don't even try. They don't even try to come in and seek assistance. And so that's something that the least number that we could get to fall through the cracks, the better. I think the more numbers you'll have that are people that are applying for the program.
Okay. Yeah.
A couple of thoughts. So how are we going to drive more attendance from the motel and the hotel residents? I mean, obviously, what we've started to do or what you've started to do has not been as successful as hoped. We're going to try something different?
Well, you know, this was not put here just for the motel people, obviously.
Right.
We just saw that as a population and a subpopulation that we just thought we'd have heavy amount against. We are planning on going back out again with more brochures and things of that nature provided through Jesus Was Homeless Movement. Brian Stallings, I got to talk to his father the other day. I haven't been able to run Brian down yet, but his dad's working a lot with him, Tom Stallings, and constantly just trying to get that word out.
Okay.
I just don't know if that's the percentage that really wants to stay here long-term, that's unhappy with living in the motels.
Right.
And, of course, we know there's a population in there, too, that's happy that way. They don't want anything different. But I thought there would be more than 14 that would come forward that would want something different and would be in a condition that all they really needed was that help getting that first step in of the initial rent and the down payment and utility startup and all.
On a slide way back there, you had talked about HPRC assisted, and you had 58 direct assistant, and you were 77 pending. How long does it normally take? I mean, that was
Well, that's what I was trying to say. If the people get their paperwork in,
okay,
whether that be the landlords or the client themselves, it takes 7 to 10 days at the most for us to process it internally. If it's an emergency type thing, that can be done just in hours.
Okay.
But routinely, and the people understand that, that's usually not been a big issue because many times the place isn't available to move into anyway. But and the landlords, after the staff talks to them, are quite willing usually to wait. We have a good reputation in that area, and most of them will wait for that check to come in. They know that. So.
Okay.
But it does go through a process where at the intake, it's validated, and then it goes over to Valerie at the head office to make that final decision, too. So there's several layers to protect not only the client but the system itself.
I have a question on representing the people on the eastern part of the county and the availability of employment. What you indicated earlier about the being within walking distance, and we have such small towns on the eastern side of the county, and the availability of whether it be motel rooms or homes or houses or whatever, puts quite a limit on who you can get from this side of the county that would be eligible.
From the eastern side, you mean?
Well, as you stated, they need to be in walking distance of
I stated that in the context of the people in the motels.
Okay.
The motel people are usually in a position, they're there because it's easy to walk to get to their job. Now, here we're able to take them out of that environment, maybe put them in a little better place to live, but they still need to be able to walk to the job. So that's not any criteria of ours.
But do you understand what I'm saying, though? It looks to me like that with the people that are in Rockaway Beach, Merriam Woods, all those locations that might be up again a financial situation, doesn't that kind of limit them? Because there's no transportation system that we have to
get them to work,
get those people to work, and they're too far out to be within walking
distance. Under this program, they're going to have to be able to work soon or be working or something of that nature to be able to maintain stability. Under a homelessness prevention program, we're not only able to sustain them for a while maybe in their home, but the program that we have where we actually try to do the hand up instead of the hand out, they'll be worked with in a life skills type mode, self-sufficiency mode also, that might help them figure out how to get that car, or how to get it fixed, and how to keep gas in it, things of that nature. But yes, the transportation, same problem in Stone County. Any of the outlying areas are in dire need of a mass transit. And just getting the Stone people over to Branson to work in Rayanne's businesses over there is a real challenge.
Right. And the utilities that you mentioned, you know, you said you had a certain amount of people that didn't apply because of the utility payment.
The only reason, right?
Reason that they had, or
only reason that they had, and it did not make them homeless.
Okay.
The fact that, you know, we're supposed to be that the situation is, were it not for HPRP funding, that person would be homeless. If they're just behind on utilities and that's not going to make them homeless. It may make them uncomfortable. It make it untenable to live there. If that gets to that point, I've asked them to open that up just as much as they can and stay within the parameters of the contract that we have with the state. Because it's obvious that many times, you know, you get behind utilities, and that starts rippling through the whole economic condition of that family. And that if they determine that's going to lead to a homeless situation, they've stepped forward in covering that. And some of that direction is a little new. That's 60 days instead of the whole 30 to 60 days of a guide instead of the whole 90. So, because we know the impact of utilities over here, and we also know there's no codes that say if they don't have utilities, they can't live there. I think only Hollister has that in place right now. So,
Alan, thank you very much for all you do and the cost that the organization is taking. The $13,000 and the $20,000, it seems like it's costing you all a lot of money to...
Well, the $20,000 we did get reimbursed when the system started.
Right.
This started, this impacted the state so fast they really didn't know what they're doing. Our checklist on what we're supposed to do came down November. We're supposed to start on the 1st of October. We made our own checklist and muddled through it till we got other guidance. But that part of the funding, I think, is in place now. But the other part, yes, we'll handle that.
I wasn't clear, I don't think. The advanced funds are the funds that came through the grant that went to the...
To the people, yes. We just had to advance it up front. Christian Associates had to take it out of other programs till they finally got the funding down to us.
Did it cost you all the $13,000 to administer that?
The actual $13,000 plus the travel is actual costs we've expended that won't be reimbursed. That's what I agreed to up front to get the program over here so the residents would have a chance to.
Frankly, it just seems like it's costing a lot of money to get that much towards the program. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And that our whole system works that way. Okay. The whole fact is keeping people in their homes or in a home.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a cost to that. My organization is people heavy. It has to be. And
right.
People cost money more than a car to run them around in does. So,
yeah.
So some of that $13,000 is the initial startup cost. They demanded a brand new computer apiece and some stuff like that, you know. So I came through with that. So we worked that out. But it'll mainly be the utilities. And once we get moved over to the Faith Health Clinic, and I forget what they're – what are you going to call that, Dave? The whole complex?
We don't have the name of the whole complex yet. Waiting for somebody to give us a donation so we can.
Okay. But anyway, for the people that need the – that need the health and the housing and the food support that Ken's going to soon have there. It's going to be a one-stop, for lack of a better name.
Right.
When that gets there, David's given us a very agreeable rent there, and that's not going to be an issue there. It'll be mainly people costs from then on. So,
while you're on that, OCAC, yourselves, of course, the health clinic, who else is coming? Do you remember Alan? Or David?
Health Center for Independent Living.
All right, okay.
Let's see, OCAC, Health Center for Independent Living, Christian Associates. YMCA wants to put in a daycare center there, but we haven't got clearance on that one yet.
Okay.
And CAM.
And CAM.
That's David Danforth, for those that don't know, that the director of the health clinic there. So,
thanks for being here, David. If you got any questions or comments, feel free, anybody. The other question I had, Alan, was you've talked about how Stone County has been doing this for a number of years. this grant was, came about because of stimulus funding.
Right, that's right.
Those grants that you've been working on over the years weren't stimulus funding, I assume.
No, those are routine grants, and still competitive and all, but they're in the system, and when people are doing the right thing with it, the government recognizes that and have helped fund some of the situation. Buying the transitional housing that I bought over in Stone County, they've even stepped forward to help with that because they recognize the quicker I get that paid for, the better support I can give to the transitional housing people. So,
I hope this doesn't come out negative, but so are the organizations in Taney County have just not been aware of what you all have been doing to take advantage of those?
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think everyone has a different mission.
Okay.
And hopefully you can get together in the very near future and look at all these niches and see which niches aren't covered. OCAC gets some homelessness prevention money each year from the trust fund. But for this county, it's probably $5,000 to $10,000. I'm not sure if it's much more than that.
Okay.
And that disappears in a week
at
times. So, it's not that they haven't jumped in there to do it. They do what they do well. CAM was getting some money for a while to help with that. But their main mission has been in the pantry side. So it's no one has really had that as their main mission. And that's really the reason I think that you selected Christian Associates to do this particular contract here was because of that. You know, it's we're the only ones that have done the homelessness prevention program as a main part of our mission, really, in the whole of Southwest Missouri.
Your last challenge was the setting up a prevention program. Run through that again for me, if you wouldn't mind. What can we do? What's the community need to do?
The Pure Homelessness Prevention Program needs about three different elements. It needs a, well, and that's not homelessness prevention. We're desperate need of a shelter in this area, more so here in Branson, Taney County area than in Stone. I'm talking about an emergency shelter that takes them right in, the homeless off the street. Transitional housing is a major portion of homelessness prevention. And that's where people like the ones in the motel that maybe didn't qualify that could go into transitional housing under our purview or support for 2 years, under case management support for 2 years. And then they'll be able to maybe go out and step into the world and be able to handle their own affairs. The other part of it are those walk-in people. It's a and that's where most of the money ends up going, is to those that come in for whatever assistance it takes for them to keep their home.
Right.
Sometimes that's getting the car fixed so they can get to work. Sometimes it's just a one-time handout because the baby's been sick and mom couldn't work for 2 weeks. Other times it's a it's a in-depth case management effort by my staff to work with those individuals through the next months or years until they get there.
So what I'm thinking is it makes sense if we encourage your organization, yourself, to continue what you're doing, to, and that's what you're talking about doing, that we need a plan because we've got 18 months left.
Yes, if that's what you want to do, we've got about that much time to tie into the end of this money. Is what I was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It'd be nice to have some of that money a little bit earlier so we don't turn away that 68% or whatever it was there that that comes in.
But the shelter is the main focus. Taney County, the way I understand it from your conversation, our need of a shelter and the application of a grant to provide that shelter is probably one of our top priorities.
That under housing, that should be one of the top priorities.
Okay.
Not necessarily homelessness prevention.
Right.
That gets into the transitional and the other funding. But
right.
And the way we pay for our program in Stone County, the thrift shop pays for a third, round numbers. Grants pay for a third, and donations pay for a third. And the donation's important because that's money that doesn't have tags on it. And somebody comes through with a very unique situation, we're able to, that even the trust fund money may not let us use, trust fund may not let us use money for that, that they can make the decision to use what we call general funds. And that's the type of thing, if we could mirror that over here, whether it be Christian Associates or whoever, it's needed in this county. It's in every place. It's not just Taney County. But you've got a big population, and and a major workforce.
How about other questions? Audience? Comments? You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al. David, could I call on you? Could you come up and give us just a brief where the health clinics, what point they're at? You getting close to opening up, or you sort of opened, or those kind of things?
Okay, those kind of things. Faith Community Health is has a mission to provide medical care and wellness prevention for the working uninsured. We're looking at that group of people who don't have health insurance. The ones have health insurance up here, and then there's some down here have Medicaid and Medicare. And there's this people in the middle, the ones who make Branson work, the ones who clean tables, the ones who make beds, who run the video stores and make $8 an hour, and they don't have insurance. And so we're going to provide care for them through a program that requires them to be invested in their own health. That is, there's going to be a sliding fee scale. They're going to have to pay. And they're going to have to be invested, because not only are they going to be getting what we call, we've got two sides of the program, the Band-Aid side, which is a health clinic, but we've got the prevention side, because it's a lot cheaper to stay healthy than it is to get healthy. And so we're trying to do programs through the YMCA, the collaboration agreement with them, where they will provide classes and support for people to get healthy and stay healthy. Investment on the part of the client is not only to pay the $15 to $30 that on a sliding fee scale that they'll have to pay to come in when they see a doctor, but if the doctor says, hey, you're pre-diabetic, you need to go to a diabetes education class, he'll write a prescription for that. If they don't go over to the Y and go to that diabetes education class, we won't see them again, because they're not following through on their own health care. They're not doing their part of it. The good news is, as most of you know, Skaggs has donated the 6th Street School building to us. We're using 4,000 square feet of that. That leaves a lot of extra space, and these other organizations we mentioned are coming in, the Food Pantry and Christian Associates, Southwest Center for Independent Living, which works with disabilities. These are people who are going to, OCAC, going to come in and try to provide a multi-service center where people can come by, and because transportation is such a big issue, they can come to one place and get a lot of things done. So we're trying to do that. We have already started an intake process at the YMCA where people come in and we get their health history on each person in the family. We find out what kind of things they need in their lives to stay healthy. They're shown what is available at the YMCA. We get an intake thing. Then we set up a medical record for them. So then when they need medical care, they can call and get an appointment and come in. We're going to start trying to see, and we're calling it a soft opening, trying to work with the people from Loaves and Fishes and from Jesus Was Homeless, the ones who right now are calling us every day, are you open yet? We're hoping to open the first week of February for a Wednesday afternoon and a Saturday morning, starting right now with just one doctor and trying to get the kinks out of the system, because we're doing this. I'm not a medical person. I spent 21 years in the Army and as a chaplain, and I've done a lot of things. One of those was about 10 years of that was working in a hospital as a hospital chaplain, which means I know just enough about medicine to get myself in trouble. So we're trying to start slowly so we can work the kinks out, and then hopefully later, March or April, we hope to have a grand opening and set things up. That's where we are right now. I said with a smile on my face to Alan a while ago, what we're going to name the building. If someone wants to make a serious donation, we'll consider putting their name on the building. Sure. Wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. But like you said, we just started renovating this building last September. I came on board last June, and trying to get all the legal documentation, the tax-exempt status, all that stuff done, and we've come a long way in less than a year to be ready to open up and go. But we've got a lot to learn. We're going to open up with our health clinic. We don't have all the equipment yet for our dental clinic, but that's going to be a big need because Medicaid and Medicare don't cover dental. So we're going to have a lot more people, potential customers for the dental clinic and an optometry clinic. So we're going to have, as well as a pharmacy. We've got a program set up with a national organization called Dispensary of Hope that collects medical samples from doctors and medical overruns from pharmaceutical companies, has them in a national warehouse, and when we need medication, we've already ordered our first supply to have in our pharmacy. They give it to us for free. We pass it on to our clients. And so it's just no narcotics, nothing of that nature, but general types of medications we'll be able to provide and as part of the pharmacy. No extra fee for the pharmaceuticals, just one fee covers everything. That's.
How about a phone number if somebody had a question? Do you have a phone that's manned yet?
We have a phone. We're trying to man it because outside of me, most everybody else is a volunteer right now.
Right.
And some days I feel like they're not paying me nearly enough to work all these hours and all these places I'm supposed to be, but we're getting it going. It's, what is it? I never call it. How am I supposed to know this number? It's 336-WELL, and the numbers for that are 9355. But 336-WELL is the number, and we've got people there most days. Like I said, pretty soon we'll start opening the clinic one or two days a week, and then maybe we'll, as we get more volunteers, be able to open more. We'd like to eventually have somebody there full-time. But we'll see how that works together.
Right.
Any questions for me?
Questions for David?
Okay.
We're glad you're here.
Well, thank you. Thanks for letting me speak out.
You bet. Okay, anything else on that item?
Nope.
Ready to go on to board appointment. I think I put that on the agenda. We've got, we mentioned Roy Combs, and we got a letter. I assume y'all saw a letter from the server board, from the server board. Y'all ready to move on him?
Actually, I was waiting for some more people to, I got a couple emails from people who said they were interested in serving, but I wasn't ready to quite jump on it right now. I mean, Roy's still serving until we either reappoint or...
I had two calls last night, people that were interested. So, and I told them the process to go through to call the office and send in an application.
I mean, another week or so, and then we'll be ready to move forward. So,
Nikki's, I asked her to keep a list. We've got, I don't know, half a dozen calls that I've taken for not just necessarily the sewer board,
right.
But we have two positions there, Roy's and
Russ.
Russ. So we appreciate those that are interested, and we'll cover that later.
You want to put it on next week or the week following? What do you want to do? Next week is a short week for us. We can do it if we want to do it next Monday, the 1st.
Okay.
We'll do that. Why don't you repost for next week?
Whatever y'all are comfortable with.
Let's just keep on. Let's repost it next week.
Okay. The next item is, I was one of mine also. We talked and worked on the mail room, and also Brenda Neal, our clerk, has made a request for quite some time back on the postage machine, and we're not moving, so we need to talk about that, I think. And I would suggest that we put the mail room on the back burner once again and look into getting her a postage machine for the new building.
I think the discussion we had was regarding hiring a person, and we could do all the mail postage within the whole county, all the court offices, then it could justify a person because of the savings.
Right.
But I think with the dynamics of different offices having to do different responsibilities and different bulk, you know, not putting the blame on any one department, I don't see where it justifies the person anymore. So I think from a head count, and obviously this is a bad time to be adding people.
Right.
So, but even the exercise we went through last fall, I couldn't financially justify the savings to pay for that person. So I think the only option we have is a postage machine if they can't use what the current setup. So I would agree that we probably just need to have a discussion with maybe the IT staff to see what they have recommended from a postage machine and see if we're ready to do that or not. Because once again, that was a large expenditure, I thought.
It's $10,000 or $20,000 or
something like that.
Yeah, so it's not a cheap thing.
Maybe we just have a separate work session with Gary.
I should have mentioned, Brenda, and you all probably got the same email, sent an email where we were on the issue, so that's why I wanted to get it on the agenda.
Let's see if we can.
Towards the front.
If you can try to find some time this week, Nikki, maybe with Gary. Gary's schedule's pretty pretty tight, though, I think, the next 2 weeks. But
I think he'll give us a figure right off the top of his head, because we bought the other one just
right
a year or two ago. So
yep,
you probably got the number. You said 11,000.
It's upstairs. Yeah, it's upstairs in a file.
Yeah. Well, I meant your head.
I think it was 11,000 something. Yeah, I thought I remember 11,000.
Okay. Very good.
Sheila would like to.
Yes. This had a meeting with Gary and the commission just to talk about the usage and postage machine. And I mean, we're talking about a separate machine for that, the new judicial facility, and we want to make sure it's sized right and not oversized. So.
Okay. Sheila, anybody else, postage machine? If so, please come up to the mic so everybody can hear you.
If we're going to buy one, we have major problems with our postage machine that we've got right now. Seldom, when my girls go to do it, they have to call Tim to come up and to help with getting it through. It won't feed through. It needs a, and you need to talk to Tim on it apart. And he says we don't have a maintenance agreement, but it's
got problems.
It's got problems, major problems.
I know that. All right.
Well, and
it gets bigger.
Well, no, and one of the conversations I had with Gary briefly was taking this one here over there and getting a new one here because of the volume the assessor and the collector do. I mean, they just do large volumes. And I don't know what Brendan Neal's volumes are like. So, I mean, that's part of that whole thing of looking through all. But I think
she has a pretty decent sized volume over at the circuit court.
Yeah, you.
There was 2 days, like during tax season, we couldn't mail out the receipts.
Right.
All right. Rick, comment?
Yeah. He's coming to the microphone. We trained him.
While you're coming, do you have in your memory what that budget line item has in it that we would take that out of? That's not fair. I'm sorry. What do you have to say, sir?
Well, I think a lot of what Brenda does is certified mail and stuff like that, so I think the volume wouldn't be as much. And I think we need to look into, I mean, she has some state funds there, and if it's the state that's using most of this, and it is, I believe the state needs to pay for it. So I'm hoping maybe we can convince her, and hope you guys will keep that in mind, convince her to use some of those funds that she has rather than come to the county.
Yeah, we only allocated $25,000 in equipment purchases in 114.
We spent
$6,000, I think, last week. So.
Who pays for the computer equipment at the courts? We don't.
We don't.
So you're right. Well, there's a lot of questions, but I think we should just have a work session on
we actually
the
probably,
funding part of it.
When I compare with other first-class counties, we probably pay more on the clerk side than maybe a lot of the other first-class counties comparing to size.
Okay. Good point. Thank you. Anybody else? Postage machine? Okay. What other visiting do we need to have? Did you want to run over what happened last week, Jim?
I got my little sheet here. I can talk about what we did and some highlights of last week. Since Monday was a holiday, it was a shorter work week. I'm looking here to see what we awarded for the sheriff's office. We awarded Jeeps and Chargers for what they had budgeted for their normal replacement of vehicles. We also had a...
I need to talk to Jimmy about that.
Okay. I believe we also had, met with the Road and Bridge again, talking about different processes and specifically some roads. Carlton Road brought up, and that's probably a point that we need to talk about. Because of the hard freeze that we had, a lot of the roads that were gravel or the base maybe not as strong, they're really spongy right now. So we aren't working on roads right now a whole lot until they thaw out. And, of course, with the precipitation coming in, and that was some complaints we got over the weekend, last week and last week, which was you started a construction job and now you've pulled off. It's not because we're out of money, because that's what people jump to that conclusion. It's because we'll do more damage to the road working on it right now versus waiting a couple weeks. So that was something that was brought up last week in a work session with Frank.
While you're looking there, one of the issues we had last Tuesday was the tower agreement, and we approved it. Jimmy, I don't think you were here. We approved it contingent on getting insurance. Who's carrying that ball? We wanted to be sure we had insurance.
I don't remember it being contingent upon anything, but the question was asked, I think, whether or not we had the insurance that was contemplated in the agreement. I don't know that anybody was assigned the task of checking that. I simply said at that time that I'm sure the, you know, all of our property is insured, but somebody needs to call Mr. Connell and find out.
Well, I'll make sure I send.
If it's a renewal, it'll already be there, and if it's not, just a phone call and it will be added to.
A motion was it was approved with confirmation of insurance coverage, and I didn't know.
I'll send a note to Tim as soon as we're done. I will, because I forgot to write that down. I forgot to do that. So. The only thing last week was James and I had our Missouri Association of Counties directors meeting. We went to Jeff City. Senator Grisheimer came forward and talked about some of the challenges they have, which is the biggest challenge is budget, balance the budget. They've got to come up with, I think, $750 million. Basically, everything's on the table to cut, and so we're... they went through numerous bills. Grisheimer did mention that the biggest thing that they're challenging with is term limits. You know, it's good to have term limits, and he's not discussing, not arguing the fact that we voted for term limits, but 8 years is pretty hard, short time to get things done. And what they're seeing is a lot of power struggles for people to get in leadership real quick, and so a lot of legislation is not getting accomplished. He was going to introduce a bill to lengthen it from 8 years to 12 years, because if not, he said there will be 56 new reps next year after the November election, and I think he said 12 senators. So going into a very bad budget year in 2010, there'll be a lot of inexperience working on a budget. So the concern is with 12 years, it gives a little more time to get some legislation done. There's a lot of bills on the table, anywhere from the Fair Tax Bill, which is a very unique bill that the House passed last year, the Senate's reviewing right now. One of our lobbyists that we have on staff at MAC said it has legs and there's great momentum, but it's still all it would do is put on a it'd be a ballot initiative. So all they could do is say yes and they'd go on the ballot, but they didn't think it'd make it by November. There's a lot of dynamics to the whole process. But they talked basically any bill that needed funding would not get passed this year because there is no money. And so they made that real clear.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We'll recess until...
a few minutes.
I guess we'll recess about 5 minutes and then we'll be ready for Nick.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.